Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock hour, Central Time, of course, then you're hearing the live broadcast, and Bob, Richard, and I would love to hear from you, love to have you participate in this particular edition of Basic Gospel. Toll-free number 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. When Jesus was preparing his disciples, he gave some great words about the Holy Spirit and the fact that he was going to go away, and when he did, he was going to send the Holy Spirit to the disciples and to us. You know, when we come to Christ, God, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to us. Yeah. He comes to live inside of us, and I love how Jesus described the Holy Spirit in this particular passage. This is John chapter 16, starting in verse 12. And he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So Jesus was imparting just all kinds of information to the disciples about what was up ahead for them. And he got to a point and he said, I know you can't bear anymore. But he gives this promise, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you the things that are to come. So this Holy Spirit is described as the Spirit of truth and as the one that will guide us into all truth. And that is so vitally important for us to understand. The Spirit's job is to guide you, to guide me, to guide all believers into the truth. He has that impact out there in the world on the lost community. He came into the world to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. So he is trying to give the truth about those things out there in the world and draw people unto Christ. For those of us who are in Christ, he lives in us, and he drives this truth into us. He imparts that to these minds of ours. And that is so vitally important for us to understand. Why? Because we live in a world that is built upon lies and deceit. So this world is under the control of Satan himself. He is the father of all lies. His ammo, his you know, the way he operates is through deception. He tries to deceive us into believing lies. Well, now we have the Spirit of truth living in us who can counteract that, who will give us discernment and enable us to see what's a lie, and if it's a lie, we simply reject it and move on and grab a hold of the truth, and that truth will set us free. Now, that is what we've been talking about as the solution to those emotional problems that all of us experience in life. Some of us have minor emotional problems. Some of us have major emotional problems that can be described as depression and despair or anxiety. We talked about last week the fact that 40 million people suffer, right here in America, suffer from some sort of anxiety disorder. Well, what is that? Well, it's a mind that is preoccupied with the future, that is built upon a fear of the future, that causes excessive worry and can bring a person to the point of just sheer panic. Now, that happened to my wife, Gina, not too long ago. She got in the back of a Volkswagen Beetle and loved Volkswagen Beetles, but she doesn't like the back seat of them. And as she's driving, she notices there's no back door, there's no easy exit, and so she starts to think, what if, it's that what if game that we like to play, what if I'm in a wreck, how am I going to get out of here, how am I going to be rescued, will they have to bring the jaws of life, what is going to happen? And so those thoughts just escalate, they start zooming through her mind, and all of a sudden she's just in sheer panic. It's a panic attack. There's this sense of just sheer hopelessness, that she was totally out of control. Well, what is that? That is these lies. None of that had happened. A wreck had not happened. She was just driving along smoothly in the back seat of a Volkswagen, going from their lunch place to back to the office. So everything was going the way it was supposed to, but in her mind, it was a completely different picture.
Sure.
And her feelings predictably responded to those negative thoughts to the point that that escalated to sheer panic. Well, what did she do? Well, she started getting sweaty and clammy, and, you know, her heart started racing and all of those sort of things. And she had to ask the driver to stop, to pull off the side of the road and to exchange seats with the person in the passenger seat. Well, once she did, everything started to calm down. Well, how does that happen? Well, it starts here in the mind. It starts with a bunch of thoughts that we think might happen. They're not true. They haven't happened. You know, 95% of the things that we worry about never actually occur. But we give a lot of thought. We give a lot of attention to those things. We worry about them as if they are going to happen. And that's what happened to her. What brought her back? Well, getting into that front seat, but then
kicking out the rear window.
That's right. Then also starting to think about truth. What is actually true? And she started thinking about the fact that Jesus Christ was right there with her. And that started to calm her mind down. Now, we all go through things like that. I'm picking on Gina, and she actually said it was okay to share this story.
It'll be riding in the back
seat
of the car.
That's exactly right. But it's one of those things. It's why we need to rely on the Spirit of Truth, because the Holy Spirit can at any given moment help us discern what's simply fantasy going on in our mind, what's simply lies or deception, and to really anchor us to truth. And when we're anchored to truth, and that's what God wants for us more than anything else, is for these minds of ours to be anchored to truth, then that truth will calm us down and eventually give us the peace that passes all understanding.
Absolutely. I can certainly relate, having had an MRI a late Friday afternoon and wondering if the staff was going to go home before they remembered I was in there. I think Gina and I both need a copy of the breakout.
Yes,
of course, that's
yes.
The message that you and Richard put together, Bob. And this month we're making it available, the breakout, as you make your gift to Basic Gospel. We continue to work toward our budget. Our goal by the end of the fiscal year, June 30th, just 39 days away, as a matter of fact. And friends, we need your prayers and your support to keep the good news on the air. Richard, give us an idea of what goes through your mind when we talk about financial issues and the need that we have by the end of the fiscal year.
Well, the first thing I have to do is not worry about the future.
Yeah.
Because I worry in Technicolor. That's not a good thing. Let's keep it right, simple, fact-based.
Yeah.
You know, we know, this message changes lives. If you can get through to somebody with the truth of Jesus, they are going to be better for it.
Yes.
They're going to choose him. They're going to come to eternal life. They're going to have the Spirit indwelling them, renewing their minds. It's all good. But it takes money to do that.
Yes.
Radio time isn't free. Believe it or not, internet time is not free. Most of us watch the internet for free, mm-hmm. but it costs to produce. And we just simply need to pay for that stuff. We have many more opportunities on the table.
Yes, we do.
Than we have cash to meet those opportunities. We need to meet our obligations to our vendors, the people who broadcast this program for us, and it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Changed lives are worth the investment, and the investment is simple. A few dollars from each of you pays for everything we need.
Yeah.
Some of you can afford to give many dollars. And if you do, if you give whatever amount, we thank you in the name of Jesus for that. But it's not about Bob and me. This is about people on some street in some town in the United States or around the world
yeah.
who needs to hear Jesus today.
Absolutely. Thank you for those thoughts, Richard. And friends, you can go online to basicgospel.net to make your gift. Just click donate there on the homepage. We'll send you a copy of the breakout. You can also call our universal number, 844-322-2742, to make your gift. And that number is available around the clock, 24 hours a day. Again, the breakout is yours as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Well, again, 844-322-2742. We have plenty of open lines. We want you to be a part of this edition. I know that many of you listening have a question or some particular topic you'd like us to discuss. This is your best opportunity, because if you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, well, we encourage you, because you are hearing the live broadcast. 844-322-2742. In the meantime, guys, question from David, who listens and wrote us a note through Facebook. He says, I just listened to a recent broadcast about God writing his laws on our hearts and the new laws of the new covenant. I heard the word living several times during your teaching. Would it be accurate to say that the law written on our hearts is actually Jesus Christ himself, or am I stretching it a bit?
Well, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ has come to live inside of us. The Holy Spirit is indwelling us. I mean, that's just truth. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. So the definition of a Christian is somebody in whom the Spirit of God dwells. That's the definition of a Christian. That's why it's necessary to be born again of the Spirit of God. Now, it's the Spirit that writes these laws upon our hearts, and they're all connected to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it's faith in Jesus,
yep.
It is hope in Jesus, and it's the love of Jesus being expressed out there in the world. So those are the laws that the Holy Spirit is writing on our hearts. So he is connecting us to Jesus in the way in which we live. He is connecting us to Jesus as far as motivation, hope, and he is connecting us to Jesus as far as expression. So we have faith, hope, and love, and we see this throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, Peter, John, they're all speaking time and time again about our, quote, responsibility in the Christian life.
Yeah.
God wants us to walk by faith. He wants that faith to be anchored in hope. He wants that faith to be expressed in love. That's what the Holy Spirit is writing on our heart. So if we did not have the Holy Spirit living in us, then we would not have that opportunity to live in that realm of faith, hope, and love. So it's necessary to have the Holy Spirit, but he is not the laws written on our hearts. That's faith, hope, and love.
Yeah. Basic gospel, everybody. And again, David, thank you for your question. If you have a question, you can drop us a note at bob@basicgospel.net. You can go online and pose your question, or you can call 844-322-2742. And if you're hearing the live broadcast, you can do that right now. We would love to share it with you. 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question on Christian living and submission in marriage. This is from Teresa. She says, a year ago, I made a decision to follow Jesus. My question is, what does it mean for me to submit to my husband, who is a non-believer? I pray daily for his salvation. I want to obey Scripture, but I really don't know what this means in action. If you have any practical examples of how I can apply this to my life, I would really appreciate it. Signed, thanks. That's from Teresa.
Well, that is a great question. You know, the passage in Ephesians chapter 5 is really built upon the premise or the assumption that husband and wife are both believers.
Yes.
So, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wife, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord.
Yes.
So, it's built upon that premise. So, now what happens when one is in the Lord and the other is not? And so in this case, Teresa is in Christ. She's wondering how to submit to a husband who is not in the Lord. Well, one of the things that I find helpful in talking about this with women, especially in counseling, premarital counseling, that sort of thing, is to talk about the other side of this submission coin, which is respect. And that's what Paul talks about as well in this particular passage, that as far as loving your husband, the way that you love your husband is to show respect. And that's the idea conveyed in that word submission. So you can show him respect. Now, we, you know, in this society and for years and years and years, and this has kind of been the way of history, we've kind of projected that out to all womankind. that they're to live in submission to all men. Well, that's not what this passage is talking about. It says you have one person, only one, to live in submission to, a human, and that is your husband. What does that mean? To show him respect. So you, as you get to know him in your relationship with him as your husband, then you're going to figure out ways to show him respect. But that's what that is all about. So if I'm in your shoes, I simply start praying to the Lord. How can I love him in such a way that I am showing him that I respect him for who he is? It may be as simple as each night saying, I'm so grateful for you and how you provide for this family. That's going to go a long way in showing respect. It may be asking his opinion on things and getting his input on certain things that normally you've always taken care of. It could be as simple as that. But you are in a unique situation to figure out how you individually can show this one human being love through your respect of him. So that's what that's all about. So if I'm in your shoes, just ask the Lord to reveal unique ways that you can show respect, and then have the courage to step out. And don't expect results. Do so with no strings attached.
Yeah.
If you have strings attached, if you're expecting things, go ahead and get some spiritual scissors out and just cut those strings. You don't need those on there. And I guarantee you that's going to speak much more loudly than having strings attached.
Yeah.
And you won't judge them, and you won't do all of those sort of things. So just ask the Lord to show you how you can respect your husband. Have the courage to step out and do some things. Leave the results in the Lord's hands. I think you're going to find some contentment and reward in that that you never dreamed possible.
Yeah. Teresa, glad you wrote to us, and we hope that this has been a help to you. And if you have further questions, don't hesitate to get in contact with us. And that goes for all of our listeners. If you have a question, can't get to us while we're actually live on the air, you can call still 844-322-2742 and record that question. We'll get to it very, very quickly on Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742, or you just drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. Well, with our fiscal year end looming and a budget need of well over $200,000 by June 30th, we're asking your help, friends. We need to ensure, as Richard said, that all of the expenses of teaching the New Covenant on the air and online are going to be met. To say thank you for your gift to help meet this need, we're going to send you a copy of our CD by Richard and Bob called The Breakout. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or call that universal number 844-322-2742 to make your gift and receive your copy of The Breakout. Again, that's basicgospel.net or 844-322-2742. Question from James in Littleton, Colorado. He asks, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, is it only through His Word contained in Scripture?
Well, I think the Holy Spirit can speak to us apart from Scripture. I think we can get certain impressions from the Holy Spirit to move in this direction instead of another direction. But all of that is in line with the Scripture.
Yes.
So He never speaks contrary to what the Word of God is saying to us. So if we know that the Word of God says, for example, don't be joined to an unbeliever. The Word of God says that. You know the Holy Spirit is never going to lead you contrary to what the Word of God has already said. Now, there are a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people, and they will look me square in the eye and say, Bob, you just don't know how I feel. And I said, well, I probably do know how you feel. You want this to happen. But here is the clear teaching of the Word of God. Now, you can move forward. You're free to do that. But it's wrought with problems. There are going to be situations. I remember looking square at a couple saying, you should not get married. It should not happen. They got married anyway. 6 months later, they called it quits. And they realized we should have never gotten married. But so the Holy Spirit is never going to lead you outside of what the Word of God has to say. So if you're in that situation and you think the Holy Spirit is telling you to marry an unbeliever, you know that's a lie. That's not the Holy Spirit telling you to do that. Why? Because he will never contradict the clear teaching of the Word of God. But if you, are having a job situation, you may get an impression that this is the direction you need to move in. Well, move in that direction. Yeah. There's nothing in the Word of God that's contrary to either path, either job choice. If you're sensing that this is going to be the right one, you're more at peace there, move in that direction. I think that's part of the Holy Spirit impressing you to go in that way.
Yeah, yeah. And if you happen to make a mistake in that situation, the Holy Spirit's not going to come up to you and slap you in the face and say, how could you get it so wrong? There's no condemnation in this. If it turns out to have been the wrong job or the wrong move to the wrong house or whatever, the Spirit's going to come to you and say, what have we learned? You know, how do we learn to discern better? I mean, there's so much peace in responding to the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead, and it's a learning process. It takes us a while to figure it out as time goes on. And, you know, even if you've been a follower of Jesus, been born again for 75 years, in month one of year 76, you may make a horrendous decision. It has nothing to do with your value to Jesus or his value to you. It's just part of the ongoing learning process. And the Spirit teaches us how to discern this stuff. And he does it with our mistakes quite often.
Yes, indeed. We have just a incredible foundation, an incredible promise. It makes everything win-win for us.
Yes.
That God said, God has promised he's going to cause all things to work together for our good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if you go in one direction and that ends up not the direction you should have gone, well, that's not a big deal to God. He can take that and work it together for your good. So just trust him.
Yeah.
Always look forward. You know, in my life, I've been thinking a lot lately about the word hope. And I'm going to write something here fairly soon on hope, just a word about hope.
I hope you will.
Yeah. There's just a lot of pessimism in this world
today.
We're always expecting the worst. That's something that I did for so long. I was expecting the other shoe to fall. Something good might happen, and then I was just worried to death, well, that other shoe is just around the corner, and it's not going to feel good. It's gonna hurt when it comes.
Quit talking about me, Bob.
So that's a part of anxiety. That's
yes.
Part of being anxious is we're always expecting the worst as far as our future is concerned. I live there, and most of it was tied to past sins. I'm thinking if something in the future is going to happen, it's the result of some sin I've done in the past.
Yep.
That's going to be justice. That's going to be my just reward, my punishment for that act. So that's how I lived. But, you know, with hope, we don't have to live that way anymore.
No.
You can actually look forward to the future. You can look forward to tomorrow expecting God to do incredible things. That's what this hope is all about. It's not tied to you and your ability to perform or your ability to make things happen. It's all tied to Jesus. And if you recognize that, your outlook on life at any given moment can be positive, can be uplifting, can be encouraging. And you can live with this attitude that, Lord, surprise me. I'm ready for whatever you bring, and it's going to be good. And so I think that's how we really have to face tomorrow, with that sense of hope. And when we do, when our minds are anchored to that sense of hope, then we're going to be able to walk through those seemingly anxious moments today.
Absolutely. Just good stuff on the program today. As always, guys, thank you for sharing from your experiences, and especially Gina's experience. I know she was loving that. Well, yeah, once again, friends, we have a copy of Bob and Richard's message called The Breakout for you as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Remember, we are looking at just 39 days away, our fiscal year end, and we need an outpouring of your love and support to meet that budget. Go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, and we would love for you to partner with us. Again, basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis. God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.